This edition of the Swim Brief is sponsored by Pro Swim Workouts. Are you an athlete that's looking to see what other athletes are doing to get top results? Are you a coach who wants to broaden your horizons and learn from other coaches' workouts? Make an account at Pro Swim Workouts today and get access to workouts from around the world. Start with some free workouts and then upgrade to see workouts from some of the best coaches in the world. That's Pro Swim Workouts. ProSwimWorkouts.com. The Swim Brief is also brought to you by Chris DeSantis Coaching. Do you want to start training race pace or bring race pace training into your team? Go to Chris D Coach, that's C-H-R-I-S-D as in downtown Jersey City, coach.com. There are so many people out there interested in race pace, and unfortunately, a lot of people selling it don't really understand how it works. A little bit of knowledge in this area is dangerous. Make sure you're doing it right. You can follow me on Chris DeSantis Coaching on Facebook, read the blog, watch the videos, and listen to podcasts. This week, I called Nico Messer, and we discussed the new Swim Brief podcast we're going to be doing together. You get to hear a little bit of both of our stories, why we're doing this, and what you can expect from upcoming podcasts. Let's go. Hello, Nico.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I'm going to start off this podcast because it's something new and it's going to be something recurring by doing something that I haven't done on other podcasts. And I think it's especially important because Nico is here joining us and there's going to be some other people maybe along the way. But what I wanted to do is give everybody listening just a little bit of context as to who we are, who I am, who Nico, who's on the other end of the line, is, and sort of establish that before we get into talking too much swimming. So, Nico, who are you?
Sure. I'm a swim nerd, swim coach from Switzerland. We actually connected to one of my swimmers who used to swim for you at Georgia Tech, which at that time, he wasn't technically my athlete, right. But somehow. So I've been working in Switzerland the last 6 years, two different teams, two very different teams, like one really little local team, one bigger team in Zurich with like the university around and like a contender for like national team championships and a lot of national team members. One of the first team when I came back, I was the head coach. The second team, I was kind of the assistant coach, even though the head coach there didn't like me saying I was the assistant, but that was how I was doing, right? And that was great. That's what I wanted. Then the last couple months, I was coaching the national team, more precisely the athletes that have to go into the military service because everyone in Switzerland has to do some military service at one time in his life. Actually, you have to do it at 20, 21, or 22. You go in for 6 months, and then you go back every year for 2 or 3 weeks till you're 32 or 36, depending on what you end up doing or how good you do. And right now, I'm just kind of hanging out a little bit, spending some time with family, and I'm looking for something new.
Yeah, and so you mentioned we used to coach a swimmer in common, and actually we got to see each other at a swim meet in Zurich once when you were coaching there. That was a lot of fun. Tell me about Pro Swim Workouts.
Sure. The thing is, you know, like a lot of people wonder what it really is, and like the real true answer is, I really don't know myself at times, you know. I know what I thought it would be, and it just ends up being something completely different, like every other year, because it's kind of growing, its interest is spiking, and there's a lot of stuff like this podcast that we end up doing. So it started out, and he's like a common friend of us, Mark Hill. When I was coaching with him down in the Florida Keys, we had this thing where we kind of, you know, down in the Keys, there's not a lot of swim teams. There are a lot of swim teams if you drive up an hour and a half or 2 hours to Miami or past Miami, but there's not a lot of sharing going on. There was a lot of sharing between us, but you want to know what the other guys are doing in your state, in your zone, or even like in the U.S. or outside the U.S., and there's just not a lot of stuff around for us to do. And we had this idea where we tried to find a way to share workouts or share ideas. We had this idea, it just never got to the point where we actually just sat down and did it. And then Mark Hill was recruited to go coach at the University of Michigan. And I was like down there on my own. And I didn't even have him now to share stuff, you know? And I'm like, now I got to do something about it. So I just, computer science guy. So I just spin up a website, started to put up some stuff myself, get in touch with some of my fellow coaches, ask them, hey, I'm trying to kind of share ideas and get some inputs on stuff. Would you maybe want to hop on here and do this with me? And I guess that's kind of weird if you do that. So in the beginning, it was really just kind of like me going back through some old logs, like looking at what I did, like ask myself, why did I do this? Does this even make sense? And I was like, oh my God, what did I do over there? I probably screwed over a few athletes, you know? And then I was at, I think it was an ASCA clinic, and like I heard one of the guys talk about Paul Yetter, who just at that time took over T2 Aquatics up in Naples. And he was talking about how he, like, Paul Yetter was kind of like his mentor. And the way it got to it, he kind of just walked up at the meet to him because someone told him, well, he's just, you know, it's swimming. Like, we're coaches. We just walk up to each other, shake hands, introduce yourself, and ask a question. If he has time, he's going to answer you. If he don't, well, you just try the next time. So I'm like, wow. I mean, not a bad coach. I know his name. He's going to be at the next swim meet that I'm going to be. So I'm just going to do that same thing. And I did. And I told him about my idea. And he's like, I can do it. I'm like, cool. So it was like the first few weeks, it was like myself, and then it was Paul Yetter starting to put stuff on. And I was like, well, you know, maybe there's some people out there, they don't want to do this, but they may want to see what Paul Yetter wants to do, because I know a lot of people in Florida do want to do it, and they may not have the guts to go and talk to him, which I think is kind of stupid, but I mean, it took me a lot of time to do it, so why don't I have a website? Why don't I put up a Facebook page and start sharing that stuff, you know? So it kind of grew up from there. Then there was a guy from Europe who saw it, and he's like, hey, I think it's cool what you're doing. Can I start put up some stuff as well? And it grew from there, and it's kind of all of a sudden people are showing up, and they're like, hey, I'm not a swim coach, but I would like to see what they're doing. And it's like, you know, we didn't want to hide it, but it was kind of private at that time. So unless you had an access to the website, there was no way you're going to see anything. So I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't mind, you know. you wanna swim a workout that I put up there? Good luck. If you're not swimming competitively, but you may look at it or get a good idea. I don't mind. And then a few more people came and they like asked me, well, can I donate to you? And I'm like, sure. I mean, money sounds good, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, well, it's really great because I really want to see what Paul Yetter does. I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to donate, I'm going to kick the money back to him because you're kind of coming for him, not for me. So it's fine. So I got the money. I gave it to Paul Yeager. And he's like, well, what's this about? I don't know. I think maybe there's a way, you know, we're not going to get rich and it's not the goal. It's not at all what we wanted to do, but maybe there's a way to like kick back to what we love, like swimming. And it probably the first years, first one, 2 years, there were maybe $100 or $200. And like 5 years into it, we're over 20,000, wow. Which is not a lot of money, but it's a lot of money to me. And it's certainly a lot of money, you know, to everyone who got some money. And it's been for some coaches that actually did participate. It was more than just some coffee money, you know, some got to buy equipment for their teams. Others got to pay for meets. So it just kind of grew and a lot of good things are happening out of it. And I really enjoy it. You know, I get to look at a new workout every day or reflect on one of my old workouts every day. Free learning.
Yeah. There's so many things I like about just listening to the story you just told about pro swim workouts. There's so many things that I really like about it. I think, you know, first of all, the exchange of knowledge and that sort of mentoring model for swim coaching, it's just the way it is out there. I mean, so much of the knowledge that swim coaches have is informal. It's stuff that they talked with another coach about, or they coached with somebody who did this or that. And the great part about, you know, 2017 is that, you know, if you're living in Switzerland, you don't just have to hear about or know about what is going on, you know, in your local area. There's this opportunity to get exposed and this exchange of ideas. I know back when I was involved with flow swimming, and that's be a little bit part of the story that I'll tell.
Yeah,
the thing that people loved more than anything were workout videos, because they love to watch somebody else's workout and hear about somebody else's workout and hear about how. And I think I'm jumping a little bit ahead to what we're doing here, because here we're going to get into a little bit more of the how and the why and sort of add on to a lot of these workouts. And the last thing I really like about your story is that one of the mistakes I see coaches making all along, and they do this with the best intentions possible. They do this because they're too good people, like they're too nice, is that they give away really valuable stuff for free. And, you know, I was having a conversation with another coach and we were talking about, you know, a very prominent coach who I won't name here in the US, but, you know, he's in his 80s and he's still coaching. And we were thinking like, is he still coaching because he loves coaching, or is he still coaching because he still needs to work? Because despite all the really valuable stuff he's done over the years, how much of it has he given away for free? And breaking some of that cycle and just saying, no, some of this stuff has value and people should get something for that value. So, you know, I'm a swim coach, just like Nico. I'm a swim nerd. I tell people all the time, I am so lucky I was born at this time of history that otherwise I would have been, you know, so lonely by myself. And that reminds me of one more thing about your story, which is, and this is something that I really feel a lot of empathy for coaches out there, and why I write blogs and why I make podcasts and all this stuff, is because sometimes it's very hard to start that discussion on the pool deck. I know myself, I'm a very introverted person. I'm shy. I look at almost everybody I meet and think, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me, even if it's not true, you know? So it's great to move that conversation out. And that was a huge barrier to me getting started in coaching. It was something that I had to work really hard to overcome, but I did. I started my career coaching at Penn. I was there for a couple years as basically a glorified volunteer assistant coach because, again, you know, mentorship and and an apprentice model. You know, that's how you got in. I translated that into coaching at Georgia Tech. I had a tremendous time coaching at Georgia Tech for 4 years, and really felt like I was able to make a difference there, and recruited swimmers from near and far. And that was by far one of the highlights for me, was just having people and meeting people from all over the world. And then I decided to go halfway across the world, and I coached in Denmark for 3.5 years, and had the opportunity when I was there to travel as a coach on the Danish junior national team and the national team, and go to places like Baku, Azerbaijan, which was a tremendous experience, and at a place I'll probably never be back again, unless it's maybe for another swim meet, or if I change careers and get into oil prospecting.
Maybe. Who knows? Sounds like they really want to get like meets in that region of like the world right now. I mean, what they built there just for that kind of
Oh my
competition.
Gosh.
It's insane.
Yeah. Well, that's if we get into the politics of that's a whole nother podcast. So let's talk a little bit, because I got into it just slightly, but you know, what's the mission here as you see it, Nico? Why are we doing this?
Well, you know what I see, and I know where pro swim workouts is lacking, and it's a time factor for coaches, because you know it does take time to go on the website. A lot of coaches, and you can believe this or not, like even with Commit, the workout software, a lot of coaches still like to write on paper. Like I myself do as well. I think it has something to do like where coaching is an art, right? Like the big painters, they don't paint on the computer; they paint on paper. Sometimes you have like this big idea for a workout and you start writing it, and then it's kind of like your underlying idea, and it changes halfway in, and then when you've done it, it's something completely different. And you have the workout maybe written down in your log, but you may not always write everything down that goes into it, you know, which is like on the website, on frozen workouts, what we call like the description, right? Which explains, you know, what's this workout about, maybe what went into it, how was stuff done, because something you can write down, like one of my favorite sets is like 2100s or 2050s of anything and just kind of mix it up. I mean, if you read 2100s on 140, it could be a lot of things,
right?
And you're not gonna see this, and this is where like the time factor, I guess, is a big one, you know. And I understand, I encourage all the coaches that do contribute to write down as much as they feel they wanted to or is needed. And I guess it's hard, because I see it when I do it. You know, I'm not like as current as some other coaches. Like I post workouts from a year ago for multiple reasons, but it's kind of like I look back at the logs and I have all the workouts. I have a few notes maybe, you know, but I'm like... My note is like, ooh, we did 8 100s on 6 minutes. One of the guys puked. I was real happy about this. It's this is not going to help, you know.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's where the podcast is probably going to help, or what we hope it's going to be. It's like we're going to look at some of that stuff and try to figure out. It can be stuff that I put up, other stuff that we don't know, and just try to figure out what maybe what's about this workout, what can we do about it, maybe what would we change, what do we like about it, what don't we like about it, what could be the context of this workout, like the nitty-gritty stuff, right? What I think a lot of people are interested in but don't get all the time on the website. And I guess it's hard in writing form, and it may be easier like talking about it, because That's what some coaches are kind of good, is talking. You know, you get to hold presentations every day in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we know how to talk, but we don't necessarily know how to write a good letter. because that's the work that we all dread.
Yeah, I think for sure. The one of the things I think we had talked about was taking some of those conversations that you would have next to a pool deck off the deck, putting them in this format. And I think there's so much value in that because I just think, and this is one of the goals of Chris DeSantis coaching, which I didn't manage to force myself to talk about that much, but it's just having better conversations around swimming. You know, I think we have a sport in general where we're so far from having enough really good conversations. I think there could be 10 more podcasts out there where people just had really, tried to have intelligent conversations about swimming topics, and we would need all of them. Because that stuff is, as I see it, very underdeveloped in swimming. And part of what I'm trying to do in Chris DeSantis coaching really was take myself away from, that traditional role you have as a coach, where let's say you're head coach of a club team, and that was my last sort of traditional job in swimming. You're expected to do like 100 things. And you may, if you're really being honest with yourself, you may only be really excellent at 10 out of 100. And the other 90, you're to varying degrees doing, a good job, maybe an okay job, maybe a bad job. So my goal with Chris DeSantis coaching was I'm going to sort of go out into the wild, and I'm only going to do the things that I know that I'm the best at. So I'm going to coach people in starts, because I know that if you give me, put me in a room with a coach and or a swimmer and give me half an hour, I can make a difference in the way that they coach starts or the way that they do starts. I'm going to put my education to work. I have this master's in applied positive psychology. And I knew this was the most frustrating thing for me when I was coaching a team, was I knew if I could spend an hour talking with every athlete every day, I could have them mentally prepared to kill it at the end of the season. But you don't even have anywhere near that. Finding, and I know that those things that I provide can, if you're a coach who knows what your strengths are and we end up working together, that I can make your life easier too and give you, let you notch off some of the 100 things that are on your list and get them to be going really well and do that. So what are we going to be talking about? What are our topics?
I just want to maybe like put something up there because you just told this story, and I'm like, because it may be something that we're going to talk about next, but it's kind of, Eddie Reese, who's a legend coach, right? Yeah. I mean, but I don't remember what it was, but it was a clinic as well where he was talking about that same thing. Like, he doesn't get to talk enough with his athletes. And he challenged everyone in the room, and I was in the room, to talk at least 3 times to each athlete during one workout. And I mean, Texas is not a small team. They have a lot of people. So I'm like, well, sounds hard. And he's like, it is really hard. We have a lot of people. And sometimes all I can do is like tell this guy, hey, nice suit. So I took it up on me. I went back home to Switzerland. I'm like, all right, I had like 20 kids in the pool at that time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to talk to each guy at least 3 times during this practice. And I don't think I got the coach that afternoon at all, because I was talking to everybody, which is nice for a change. But I think it's something that we do have to learn, because it as you say, there's not enough time and it gets lost. But it is important, even if all you do is say, hey, nice suit. So I would challenge everyone listening to this to try this. You're not going to have a bad workout because of it. You're not going to lose your next championships meet because of it, but you may going to get better relationships with your athletes.
Yeah.
Which probably is going to be a lot more important for a lot of them.
Yeah, and I think that's to bleed into what we're going to be discussing on the podcast. For me, that's going to be a big focus. I think people tend to focus really hard on the numbers that are on a page, like teaser. Here's a teaser. Nico and I are going to talk about 100-100s on a podcast, and people kind of tend to focus on, wow, 100 times 100, and is it effective? Is it a good way to train swimmers? Is it does it make them tough, and this, that, and the other thing? And I'm always the way I'm always thinking is, well, it's so much more important how you implement that workout. So, and that has a lot to do with the relationships you have with the swimmers in the water, and the ways in which you deliver that kind of workout, and the way that you as a coach react to different stuff that could happen while you're having your workout. So that's a lot of what I'd like to talk about, because again, I'm trying to stay in my lane. I don't even pretend to have the best workout, but I have some ideas about how to implement a workout that I think could be really helpful to people. What do you see as sort of some of the stuff we're going to cover?
Well, you know, as a fact, I know, because I look back at some of the workouts on pros and workouts, I know I don't have the best workout. It's like right there. There's the proof. You can look it up and tell me about it. I'm still, you know, I'm kind of in my 8th or 9th year of coaching, like serious coaching. And at one time, through Mark Hill, there's the connection to Mike Bottom with the race club as well. And I guess a lot of people would like to be like Mike Bottom, and there's nothing wrong about that. I think that that's a really good thing. But the one thing that I heard him say is like, don't try to be me. You're not going to be good in copying anyone. You got to figure out who you are, why you coach, right?
Yeah.
I know a little bit, I hope, why I'm doing it and who I would like to be as a coach. But the longer I do this, I also notice like I'm probably far away from the end product, if there's like an end product. And like learning is never going to stop. And the one thing I like learned in the last couple of years, also due to like a visit in Shanghai, China, with Chris Martin, who's like another like legendary coach, I guess, for a lot of people in Europe, maybe, because he was working with the English national team a long time.
He's a cult hero in the US. He's a cult
hero, he's just got back. Yeah. He used to be like the head coach at Petty and stuff. He had people win medals at the Olympics, right? He's a big name. But I was really like set in that structure, like a workout needs to have a warm up. It needs to maybe have a preset. It needs to certainly have a main set. It may need to have like a recovery set, and it certainly needs to have a swim down. If it doesn't have that stuff, it's not a workout. And you know, I think like 80-70% of coaches probably go that way, and there's nothing wrong about that. But I went to China, and Chris Martin was looking at my logs, and he's like, well, what's that warm up anyway? Why do you swim down? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, that's not an answer. I'm like, all right, good. And it's like, we've been like going on walks like 2 hours at a time after each morning practice, where it was like this, and most of the time I didn't have an answer or but he would like qualify as an answer for him. So I didn't get a lot of sleep because at night when I was supposed to sleep and get some rest, I was thinking about what I'm going to tell him the next day about this day, because I felt really bad about myself not knowing the answer to the questions. But it's not the point of like having the answer. It's just kind of what he was trying to tell me is like, well, if you don't know what you do and it doesn't matter what it is, why are you doing it at all? And I hope like what we're going to talk about it, about stuff that's on protein workouts or just overlaying ideas, that this may help some people out there like answer these questions for themselves. And I hope it will for me, you know, with some stuff.
Yeah. And I think you made a reference to it earlier that, you know, you were talking about people like to write down some of their workouts on paper. And your theory on that, which I agree with, which is, you know, that swim coaching is an art and a science. So when you start thinking about why, you know, you can have all the scientific research, you know, behind why that you want, right? But there's also going to be reasons that you can't, you know, you can't sum up in a peer-reviewed journal, right? There's going to be reasons why. That appeal to a whole different side of your brain, and I hope that we get a chance to talk about both those kinds of reasons, both the scientific and the sort of artistic reasons for doing different things in workouts.
I hope so. I'm going to rely on you for this because you have like the scientific knowledge about it. I'm like, you know, the computer science guy. I was trained to like find things that don't work and find ways to fix them.
Yeah.
So which in swimming is a different story. Yep. It's much easier with a computer.
All right, let's wrap up and let's just give a little bit of for the people that are listening out there, what they can look for in next week's episode, a little teaser. I already said something about it, but what can people look forward to next week?
Well, you know, I think something that is a good way to start, and we all talk about it, and it gets talked about a lot, is like what we would call like myths and legends, right? It's like that 100-100s. It's like the T30 or like a time 3000 or something like that, like stuff, like over here in Europe, it's like the 100-100s, but it's also the 50 times 200, like all that stuff where it's kind of like, somehow we all know about it.
Yeah.
We have all done it probably at one time. But at the time we've done it, it doesn't matter if it was as an athlete or as a coach. We probably didn't know why we did it, what the goal was that day, because we just did it because maybe one of the athletes said, ooh, those guys, the team next in the next city, they did 100-100. We need to do it as well. You know, we cannot like be the weak over here. Or you're just kind of like, ooh, I heard they're doing this on Christmas, so we're going to do this on Christmas. You know, I mean, it works like that. I'm guilty of it. I'm 100% guilty of it. And I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, you know, because as I said, you know, 100-100, it can be just 100-100, but it's 10,000 meters. There's a lot of stuff that can happen and a lot of stuff that you can do.
Yeah, I, you know, I when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about in this next one, you know, I have memories of doing a T30, a T3000. Or a 30-minute swim, and absolutely loving it as a swimmer, like loving it. And I have memories of hating it, and I can remember why in both instances. I never did 100-100s, and I've never done it as a coach. But I can remember the first time I heard about somebody doing 100-100s, like I thought, like, oh my god, that guy is like the toughest person I've ever heard of, like, just for having done that. So. You're right. These myths and legends really permeate the sport, and they're not going away. there will be plenty of these kinds of sets done today, tomorrow, next week, and a year from now. So it's important to discuss them, and a nice starting point for this podcast.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have some good other ideas, but the other thing that I certainly like out of this is, like, it's going to be right now probably mostly the two of us talking about it, going over stuff. But I mean, it's funny because in your last podcast you had on Coach Harmy Lee, who's actually contributing the ProZone workout.
Yep.
So it's just kind of, it was funny to me because that is kind of like, that happened kind of in between or before we really jumped on this. So there's probably going to be other people on here if we have a workout from someone that we can get on. Maybe we hear about something, you know, from someone we want to hear, and, you know, I mean, it's good, you know, it gives exposure. People like to do it, I guess, and it's good because it's going to get out there. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about, you know, it's ideas about training, you know, like the speed, the distance discussion. There's a lot of stuff, not related to USRPT, but it certainly is, part of the discussion, and probably it's one of the reasons why it's really discussed again. But there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about, and we could talk about it for hours on end. And there's, like, other stuff that I think may be important as well, you know, stuff that, like, we say, like, we do so many things, and a lot of them probably not as good as we want to or as we should to. And, you know, I hope this is going to be mostly swim coaches listening here. So I guess there's some, like, technical stuff that's not, like, pool deck stuff that we can talk about that's going to be interesting for people as well. Because I know when I was the head coach, first time thrown in the Shark Tank, right, and, like, having to juggle money and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, my God. So I at that time, I wish there was someone in Switzerland that was like, hey, I have like 30 years experience. Why don't you come over and we get over this? And there wasn't. So, I mean, I probably made a lot of mistakes because of it. And, you know, it's not okay, but it didn't like kill the team. So I guess it was okay. But probably some of that stuff, and I don't know if we're the most qualified, but, you know, maybe we can get someone who's more qualified than we are, to talk about some of that stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to look forward to. That's a good point for us to wrap it up for today. So, thanks. I'm Chris DeSantis. That's Nico Messer. And, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Nico, for coming on and making me feel a little bit less alone in this world as a swim nerd. Thank you to everyone for listening. For more great swimming conversations, go to chrisdcoach.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-D, as in DeSantis, coach.com. You can also find me at Chris DeSantis Coaching on Facebook. Write me a message. Give me some feedback. You can also make an account at Pro Swim Workouts. That's proswimworkouts.com. And get access to their database of top-notch swimming practices. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.